Now, I was given a subject, and that subject was, does archaeology prove that the Bible is true? The answer is yes. And now we'll move on to other things. I have something the Lord has laid upon my heart, and I hope that you'll allow me to kind of break the rules a little bit the first time I'm here speaking, and put that aside maybe for another time, and speak to you of something else. I want to speak to you about peace. I want to speak to you about peace and how very badly we're going to need it. How very, very much we're going to need it. Certainly we need it now, but as we look to the future, as we look to the events that might transpire very shortly, we may need it even more so. We may need it to abound. We may need it to multiply within us. As we look around this country, as we look around the world, and the Congo and India has been mentioned, we wonder specifically, how long will it be before persecution is here in the United States? How long will it be? Before that huge storm, which may be looming just over the horizon, is upon this country. When will you be persecuted for your faith? When will it happen? Right here. Right here. When will brother so-and-so get fired from his job because of his faith? When will sister so-and-so get beaten because of her faith? When will brother so-and-so have his car vandalized or his home broken into because of his faith? When will that happen here? There was a CMML conference just a few weeks ago, and every speaker that I heard, it wasn't even the thrust of the message, the subject of the message, but each one mentioned coming persecution. Are we ready for it here in the United States? Are we ready for it? Peace, we're going to need it, and we're going to need it big time. Now, perhaps it won't be that storm that breaks upon us shortly. Perhaps it'll be a storm in our personal life that will break today, this week. Maybe something is ready to come upon us as an individual very shortly. And we're going to need peace. I don't know if you heard about, John and Ruth Marchant. And John's son, John, and another young man by the name of Mark Gottschall, a couple Sundays ago, a couple guys that I know from Princeton, Carter Road Bible Chapel. One Sunday after church, they went out on their motorcycle for a ride, and I was looking forward to coming down on my motorcycle and riding with them some Sunday. And they were out one Sunday afternoon just a few weeks ago, and they came around a curve, they lost control, and they were both killed. These are two young men in their 20s, early 20s, and they were gone like that. And this storm, this huge storm, came upon the Carter Road Bible Chapel and upon the Marchants and the Gottschalls. Suddenly, they were in the midst of this huge storm, and something personal had hit them and hit the church. And ripples went out all over the place. Maybe a storm is getting ready to bear down on somebody here this very day. And we're going to need peace to get through it. We're going to need it big time. My heart had a momentary seizing as it considered just how suddenly paramount our need for inner peace is going to be. And unfortunately, to many, this sudden understanding of a need for peace is going to bring them face to face with just how little they have. And it could be terrifying. When you're thinking about persecution, when you're thinking about the kind of storms that could come, if your peace is not strong, powerful, it could be a very, very hard situation. Proverbs 12:25 says rightly that anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. Anyone know what depression is like? To have a heart full of anxiety. Now, there's a second half to that verse. And if you know that verse, you know the whole message. But if you know it, don't share it with anybody yet. But that's the first half. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but there's a wonderful but after that. And we'll get to that in a minute. But anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. I believe there are troubling times storms lying just beyond sight, and there may be confusion and chaos and persecution and sorrow everywhere around us before we have a chance to convalesce. Before we have a chance to compose ourselves, we may find ourselves in the midst of a hostile environment. A hostile environment. And we're going to need more than ever, perhaps, and cherish that peace of God in our hearts. That peace that remains solid and steadfast, no matter what is transpiring to our left or to our right, outside of our door, in this country, in the world. It's a peace that even brings entrance to things like joy and gladness. It's a peace that passes understanding, and it even brings these things in the midst of tumultuous trials and tribulations. Peace that passes understanding. Beautiful and wonderful and precious peace. This is the peace of God that He gives to His children. What a precious gift it is. The peace of God in our hearts. He is the Lord of peace. The Lord of it. He is the Lord of peace. And Paul writes to the Thessalonian church, I love this phrase. He says, He can give us His peace. How? Always and in every way. Isn't that beautiful? Our Lord can give us His peace always and in every way, no matter what we are looking at in the future. He can give us His peace always and in every way, and we are going to need it. Peter says, but the end of all things is at hand, so be serious. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. The end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. So I would plead with you, please hear this message this morning. This is what God has laid upon my heart, and I am bringing it to you, and I would plead with you. You know, the scriptures tell us that God pleads through us to those who are lost. He pleads through us to be reconciled to God. God is pleading through us, please be saved. And He would plead through those who would come up here and present themselves as instruments to God. He would plead to you, please hear this message. And He would use me this morning, and He would plead through me, please hear this message. It's important. Hear it now. We need peace. It needs to overflow within us. And as the brother of Jesus said, it needs to be multiplied. So how can we do this? What can we do practically, specifically, to see that the peace that is in us, that God has given those of us who are His children, how can we see that it abounds? How can we see that it multiplies? Because we're going to need it. We're going to need a strong peace. We're going to need a strong, strong peace. How can we see it multiply? We got a hostile environment that may be just around the corner. I have friends who went overseas to fight, and you know, they didn't just take them and throw them into a war. They didn't just take them off the street and out of their living room and throw them into some army fatigues and send them out to war. They sent them to boot camp to prepare them, to get them ready for a hostile environment. And us, if we're wise and we look into the future and we listen to Peter and we hear him say that the end of all things is at hand, and whether it's persecution or a personal storm that's going to come into the lives of you, my brothers and sisters, we need that peace, and we need to be ready for it. We need to be like boot camp. We need to get ready for that hostile environment that is to come. So this is what I'd like to talk to you about this morning. What do we need to do? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. What can we do practically, specifically, to see our peace increase, to see it abound and grow? Philippians chapter 4, and perhaps a brother would like to stand and read for us verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Any brother would like to stand and read that? Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Thanks. There it is in black and white. There it is. A peace that passes understanding. Surpasses all understanding. Do you gather what that means? We can't, right? It passes understanding, but do we gather the statement? It's a peace that surpasses all understanding that is available to us. And it says what? That it will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why do we need something to guard our hearts and our minds? Why do we need something to set guard within us, over our hearts and over our minds? Why do we need that? Because anxieties in the heart of a man cause depression. There are things within us, there are things external for us that would love to rip us apart, to get inside of us and make chaos out of us, to plunder us. They would love to just wreak havoc within us. We need something to set up guard to not allow those things to come in, to protect us from ourselves. I was away from the Lord for a long time, and one of my prayers when I came back to the Lord is that He would protect me from myself. Protect me from who I became when I was away from Him. We need protection from ourselves. We need a protection from those things that are outside of us. And the peace of God will guard our hearts and guard our minds and not allow those things to come in. I don't know if you saw the movie Lord of the Rings, but there's this scene actually in both movies. And this guy named Gandalf is standing on this little tiny walkway. And on one side of him is this fiery beast, must be about 20 stories high, perhaps. This fiery beast, and here's our heroic party behind him on the other side. And he's standing in the gap between the fiery beast and our heroic party. Very Christ-like situation, standing in the gap. And he says to this fiery beast, he takes a staff. Anybody know the line? Somebody said, "You shall not pass." He slams his staff down and he says to this beast, "You shall not pass. You shall not pass." And the beast does not pass. The beast does not pass. And that's what the peace of God does in our hearts. You shall not pass this way. You're not getting across here. It guards our hearts. It guards our minds. And when storms of life come in and they want to fill us with anxiety, cause us to look face to face with depression. And there may be more cause for that this week than you expect. There may be more cause for that next year, perhaps 10 years, persecution, full steam ahead here in this country. Will your heart be guarded so much so by a peace that you would describe as being a peace that passes understanding? Will it guard your hearts from what is to come? Will you be able to have peace through it? You shall not pass. You shall not pass. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. What we're going to do is we're going to look at a story that many of us know, and we're going to draw out the truth from this story. To answer this question, what can we do practically and specifically to see that peace abounds, to see that it increases, to see that it multiplies within us, so much so that it's to a point that it passes understanding and it guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus? Because we're going to need it. We're going to need it. Matthew chapter 8, and perhaps another brother, a little more quickly, perhaps. Let's stand up and read verses 23 to 27. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27.
And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed. And behold, there was a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he said unto them, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" And he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea are made?"
Thanks, Joe. All right. You all probably heard this story. I was saved when I was 4 years old. If I could count how many times I probably heard this story, I'd definitely need more fingers and toes. But let's look at a couple of things. Before we answer our question, let's look at a couple of things. The first thing we want to notice is that the disciples follow the Lord. They follow the Lord, and where does He lead them? Right into a storm. He leads his own disciples, those whom he loved, those whom he's gathered around him. He leads them right into a storm. Imagine playing follow the leader with Jesus as a kid, you know? He's leading these everybody, you know, he's leading those whom he loves into a storm. If we're going to follow Jesus, he's going to lead us into storms. He's going to lead us into them. They don't just come per chance. Oops, here's a storm. Sorry about that, guys. Let that one slip through my fingers. He's going to lead us into them. He led his disciples, those whom he loved, those whom he called, he led them into a storm. And if we're going to follow Jesus, he's going to lead us through some tough times. Listen to this. This was actually in the newspaper. Paris, France. Ever dreamt of a boss who pays you to stay in bed? Now, I had a pretty good situation. The Lord called me into full-time ministry, so I got to do something that a lot of people do, would like to do, which is I get to quit my job. But I'd go back to it. I managed a bookstore, and I really enjoyed it. But it was nice to be able to quit my job. But here's a job. Here's a job. You're getting paid to stay in bed. That is the opportunity awaiting 28 men after a French agency yesterday launched a search for volunteers to take to their beds for 3 months, all in the name of science. Pay is $10,700 for 90 days of total inactivity. The Institute of Space Medicine in Toulouse is seeking to map the impact of space travel on the human body. What a job. Kick back, 3 months, in bed, don't do anything, and get paid. And get paid. Not a bad pay either. $10,700. Nice job. Get paid for doing nothing. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians who would love to live a spiritual life like this. Who do live a spiritual life like this. Get saved. Sit down, kick back, relax, and expect to experience all the wonderful things of the Christian life and of a relationship with the Lord Jesus and do nothing, and do nothing. Perhaps they think that there's all roses, no thorns in the Christian life. They're in for a rude awakening. It's not all roses, some thorns. Perhaps this is why so many, when they come to Christ, are on fire at first. When you know someone like this, right? I've seen people like this. Come to know the Lord and they're on fire. They're in the Word every day. They're in prayer every day. They're here at every service. They can't wait to tell people about the Lord. They're excited. But then the trials come. Then the tribulations come. The storms come. Or the call to be holy comes. That was the one for me. The call to be holy comes. Jesus is leading me into storms, leading me into trials, leading me to be holy. No, I didn't really want any part of it. I wimped out. I know that's strong language to say wimped out, but I've been there. To stop following Christ. The Bible tells us that we can mature to the point where, believe it or not, we can have a peace that's so wonderful that it passes understanding. Imagine that. But those who give up and stop following Christ, and I don't mean stop going to church. There's a big difference, right? There's probably a lot of Christians out there still going to church. They stopped following Christ a long time ago. It's a big difference. A big difference. We need to continue to follow Christ. But if we stop following Christ because we don't like where he's leading, we're never going to experience a peace that passes understanding. We know it exists. We see it in black and white. But to experience it, it's a big difference. My sister, well, our whole family lived out in Iowa for a time. Out in Iowa, if you have a neighbor who has barbed wire, you know, that's okay. Around here, you know, may give you cause for concern if your neighbor starts stringing barbed wire around their yard. But out in Iowa, it's very common. And we would cross over these fences and go in the cornfields down to the cliffs by the Mississippi and play games and everything. One day, my sister, she was probably about, you know, 8 or 9 years old. And she was climbing over this barbed wire fence, and she slipped. She slipped, and the barbed wire kind of caught her leg and ripped almost just above her shin all the way up to her upper thigh. Huge cut, and she still has the scar to show for it. And I heard someone go, that's exactly the kind of reaction you would expect when someone tells you about something horrible like that. Wow, ouch, that must have hurt. That must have really hurt. But there's a big difference between sitting here and comprehending and understanding a little bit about what it must be like to fall over a barbed wire fence and have it snag on your leg and cut you. But my sister experienced it. She experienced it. And there is a huge difference between experiencing it and just kind of comprehending what's going on. Those two guys that died in the motorcycle accident, they went skydiving. That's something I'd love to do. They probably have to push me out. I know it would be a fantastic experience. And I've thought about it a lot. So I was talking with these guys after the chapel one day, and they were telling me about their experience, and I was telling them how I wanted to do it. There was a huge difference between them and me. I want to do it. I kind of have an idea what it's about. They did it. They have the experience. They know what it's like to be falling from the sky towards the earth. It's crazy, I know. They experienced it. There's a huge difference between knowing it and experiencing it. So will we just know that there's a peace that passes understanding? Or do we want to experience it? Because just as much as there's a huge difference between those two examples that I gave you, there's also a huge difference from just simply knowing that a peace that passes understanding exists and experiencing that. But if we stop following Christ, we're really going to lack the fullness of that experience to know, to experientially know a peace that passes understanding. And we're going to need it. We're going to need it. The disciples followed the Lord right into a raging storm. And we have to expect that. We have to expect that the Lord is going to lead us into these storms, and we have to follow. We have to follow. The second thing we want to notice is the word suddenly. Doesn't this strike a chord with many of us? Suddenly a great tempest arose. Suddenly. There was a storm. Suddenly. Be nice. We got a call from the Lord. Scott, listen, I got a storm coming your way Thursday, 3:16 p.m. Just wanted to check it out with you. Make sure you're ready for it. Storm coming your way. Be great. Get a phone call from the Lord. There was a cartoon of a guy that's got a business suit on. He's in front of this huge desk. And he's got a phone on it and a couple of papers. And behind him is this huge picture window with a view of the city. And he's in a suit. He's on the phone. He's looking at his appointment book. And he's talking to someone on the phone. And he says, no, Thursday's no good. Thursday's no good. Friday's no good either. How about never? Is never good for you? And that's the kind of idea that we would probably have if God called us and wanted to schedule storms. Listen, God, you know what? Thursday's no good. Friday's no good. How about never? Never fits into my schedule real nicely. But they come suddenly. He leads us into them, and suddenly they come. Without announcement, suddenly we're in a storm. That whole church at Carter Road, the family, the Gottschalls and the Marchands, they didn't see that coming. Suddenly the storm was there. The difference is, if we're wise, they don't have to take us by surprise. The scripture teaches that the Lord will lead us into them, but that doesn't mean that we have to be surprised by them. They can come suddenly, but that doesn't mean we have to be surprised by them. Suddenly, a great tempest arose. Suddenly. Now let's look at the main point. The question that we want to answer, which is, how do we make our peace multiply? What responsibility has God given us to see that our peace abounds? What can we do? What can we do? Because we're going to need it. Perhaps more so in the coming days than ever before. We're going to need something to guard our hearts and guard our minds from the storms that are suddenly going to appear. And I plead with you again, please hear this message. Hear this message. What happened? What happened to the storm? This great, ferocious, swelling storm. You know what the Lord says about the men who were on the boat? What was going on in their hearts? They were fearful. What does that mean? Full of fear. They were fearful. Here's men who are accustomed to the sea. Here's men who are used to being out in storms and on the boat. But this storm was so great that they were full of fear. Lord Jesus is downstairs. They're out there fighting it. The different gospels tell us different accounts of some characteristics about the storm, but the waves are crashing over the boat. It's filling the boat up. You can imagine that these guys are soaking wet. They're trying to keep their balance. The wind is howling. Can you picture this happening? Picture yourself on the boat during this. Seeing men run frantically around, trying to figure out what they're going to do and how they're going to save their lives. They think they're going to die. And then the Lord Jesus, picture it. Trying to keep your balance. Here comes the Lord up from below. And what does he do? What does he do to calm the storm? He just speaks. That's all he does. He speaks. His words come forth, and peace is the result. The words of God come forth, and peace is the result. This is the main emphasis of this message. The words of God come forth, and what is the result? Peace. Peace to a raging, raging sea. Howling winds are silenced by words that come forth from the mouth of Jesus. Remember that parable? Anxiety is in the heart of a man, cause depression. But, now does anyone know the rest of that? But, a good word makes it glad. Aren't you thankful for the buts and for the rest of the sentence, the rest of the story? Anxiety is in the heart of a man, cause depression. But a good word makes it glad. A good word makes it glad. The words of God came forth and peace came to the sea. There was stillness. There was quiet. The storm was gone. Just by the words of God. And a good word, words from God, bring gladness to the heart. Depression, anxiety vanishes away. And we are established by a peace that passes understanding from the words of God. This is what we can do specifically and practically to see our peace increase and abound, is to know the Word of God, to really, really know it, to turn to it. This is where we go to comfort ourselves. Romans tells us to comfort ourselves with the Scriptures. All these things were written for our sake. Everything in here. I think I have time to tell you this story. This guy that I just met not too long ago said this most wonderful thing, and it's really stuck with me. Beautiful thing he said. When he first came to know the Lord, he was reading the Gospels. And he told me that while he was reading the Gospels, it was very clearly portrayed to him a message. And that message was something that he didn't specifically read, but it was something that it was preaching to him. And it was correct. The Scriptures did agree with what this message was. And what was the message that he got as he read through the Gospels? You belong to me. Glenn, you belong to me. And that totally agreed with everything else in the Scriptures. But you see, sometimes the Scriptures comfort us simply while we're reading in ways we don't even realize. It's teaching us. It's edifying us. It's building us up and encouraging us because we turn to it. And God promises that His Word will do that. And it's a beautiful thought that sometimes we turn to the Scriptures. What do I read? I'm going through something. What do I read? Just read it. Let it minister to you. It is the Word of God. It is miraculous. It is powerful. It is living. This is the Word of God, and it will comfort. It will. And I just remember those words that he said and how beautiful of a thought it is. Just turn to the Scriptures, and sometimes you're just going to be ministered in ways you're not even aware of. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 tells us that the Word of God effectively works in us. And the Word of God can effectively work in us to make our peace abound, to make it increase, to make it so strong that if someone were to see us going through something, say, man, how are you getting through this? You look like you got this like glow on you or something. You're just so content and happy through this. How is this possible? What is it that you have? I have a peace And to say this and really mean it, I have a peace that passes understanding. To experience such a peace in our lives, a peace that passes understanding. And the Word of God can do this. It can make our peace increase. It can make it abound as we study it, as we meditate on it, not just reading it all the time. In the Old Testament, we're told to meditate on His Word day and night. Think about it. Read something, think about it. Let it minister to you. And knowing God's Word and turning to God's Word in storms, it's like Jesus coming out of the boat, speaking His words, and making the sea peaceful. And so we have, so to speak, Christ rising up in our hearts, speaking His Word. And the storms, they're gone. Suddenly they're gone. Suddenly they're gone. That's what happened on the boat. Suddenly, instantly, the wind stops, the storm stops, the waves die down, and it is peaceful. And the same thing can happen in our hearts. And as we turn to it, as we meditate on it, as we saturate ourselves in the Word of God, that peace will abound and multiply and grow so much. It'll be so strong that no matter what happens, our hearts will be guarded. Our minds will be guarded. But we need to invest now. It is the Word of God. Isaiah said, "For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." So, well, before I even get to that part, let's explain what that means. What does that mean? The rain's coming down. The snow's coming down. It has a purpose. It has a purpose. The rain just doesn't come down for no reason. The snow doesn't come down without any purpose in it. It has a purpose. It falls. It goes into the ground. It waters the plants and the seeds, and life comes forth. And then we eat of what it is that comes forth from the ground. There's a grand purpose to why the rains come down from heaven and the snows before they go back up again. There is a purpose for why they come. So this is what the Lord has in mind as He gives this example. Now He's going to make that comparison. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth." It accomplished that on the boat. God's word came forth. The mouth of Jesus opened. His words came forth. Did it return to Him with nothing having been accomplished? No way. No way. The sea was made calm. The wind stopped. It did not return to Him void. "It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace." This is what the Word of God can do. It's powerful. It will not return void. It can work effectively in us. And as we saturate ourselves in it, we can see our peace multiply beyond measure. Beyond measure. And then our spiritual life can be like this. Spiritualize this. This is the rest of the verses in Isaiah. "The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree." Imagine having that going on in your heart. And there's persecution all around. Imagine having that going on in your heart when some unforeseen storm hits this week or next month or next year. But that's the condition of your heart because the peace of God is so strong and you have invested your time and your thought to knowing the Word of God. The Word of God works effectively in us. His words can do this, lest we forget that by His words the worlds were framed. By His word. Listen to these two verses and see the correlation. "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The next verse says, "And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom." There is a direct correlation between the peace of God and the words of Christ. They're in a relationship together. And if we want to see our peace multiply, if we want to see it abound and grow far beyond where it is now, in anticipation of what is to come, we need to know the Word. We need to know the Word. This is one of my favorite verses lately. Wise people. Do we have any wise people here? Wise people. If you're wise, the rest of this verse is for you, okay? Wise people store up knowledge. Wise people store up knowledge. Why would you store up knowledge? Why would you store up anything? For a day to come. For a day to come. Storms are coming. Jesus is going to lead us right into them. Persecution may be on this country before we know it. Be wise. Store up knowledge now. Know the Word of God. Learn the Word of God. Be wise. We need to hunger and thirst for it. And we need to even pray that we can do this, because in and of ourselves, we don't have that kind of appetite for the Word of God. There's nobody here that does. Anybody who's got a strong appetite for the Word of God has prayed for it. You have to go to God to get that kind of appetite, to get that kind of thirst. Ask Him for it. We need to totally know the Scriptures. Listen to what D.L. Moody said. Very interesting. Bear in mind, there is no situation in life for which you cannot find some word of consolation in Scripture. If you are in affliction, if you are in adversity and trial, there's a promise for you. In joy and sorrow, in health and in sickness, in poverty and in riches, in every condition of life, God has a promise stored up in His Word for you. In one way or another, every case is met, and the truth is commended to every man's conscience. In Psalm 119, 165, we find these words, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Now listen, the study of God's Word will secure peace. Take those Christians who are rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and you will find that they have great peace. But those who don't study their Bible and don't know their Bible are easily offended when some little trouble comes or some little persecution and their peace is all disturbed. Just a little breath of opposition and their peace is all gone. Sometimes I am amazed to see how little it takes to drive all peace and comfort from some people. May this not be true of any of us, that our peace is so small. I mean, it's still the peace of God, but we have to experience it. It's already been given to us. It's put in us. The fullness and the measure of the peace that God gives is already in those of us who are His children. But are we experiencing it? Are we, so to speak, activating it within us by knowing the Word of God? Even the Scripture, we are told, has been implanted in us. The entire Scripture is within us. A little opposition, a little storm, peace is gone, face to face with anxiety, and depression fills up the heart. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. May we know the Word of God. May we be rooted, grounded in it. Storms are coming. Wise people store up knowledge. Wise people store up knowledge. I have just a couple more minutes. I'd like to illustrate this really cool point. Suddenly, the storms came, right? We have three suddenlies. Check these out. This is cool. Suddenly, the storm came. All right? Suddenly, there was peace. Suddenly, peace came to the sea. So even in our lives, suddenly, the storms may come. But suddenly, we can have peace that can just throw those storms right out the window. Have peace. Now here's the third suddenly. This is really interesting. The other time that Jesus walked on the water, or that he calmed the sea, was when he walked on the water and Peter came out to him. And it says that when they got back in the boat, the sea became calm. And then it says something very interesting. Suddenly they were where they were going. It was a miracle. Instead of the boat being out in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the lake, the sea, suddenly it was at the shore where it was going. Brothers and sisters, suddenly we'll be there. Suddenly we will be there. We may be in the midst of storms even now, but take comfort. Suddenly the storms come. Suddenly there can be peace. Suddenly we'll be there in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be meeting the Lord in the clouds, perhaps if it happens in our lifetime. Suddenly we'll be there. Suddenly we'll be there. The other thing that's interesting that happens is that when the men who are on the boat there come to the land, you know what they do? They fall before the Lord and worship Him. They just saw something spectacular. They saw His words come forth out of His mouth and peace brought to a sea. This raging storm. What was their response? Man, there's nothing else you can do. You just fall down and worship the Lord. And this peace is so real. And it can be experienced personally by you if you know the Lord Jesus. That you could even describe it yourself to say it passes understanding. And you know what your response is going to be like? You're going to fall at the feet of the Lord and worship Him. Not because you have to. Not because there's a service here devoted to it. You will do it because you are that impressed. You are that moved. You are that struck with this peace that is beyond what it is that you ever even thought was possible. It is miraculous. It is stupendous. It is wonderful. It passes all understanding. It blows you away. And you will just in your heart, my goodness, Lord, I just worship You. It'll just be natural. That's what these men did. Dumbfounded. Just fall at His feet and worship Him. A great cause for worship. A great cause for worship.